Welcome to the Brand Party Podcast. I'm your host, Christine from CL Designs. If you know me, execution and getting shit done is my middle name. This podcast will energize you to invest in your brand in new ways. Join me for tips, insights, and actions you can take to make your brand a priority in your business. My guests and I deliver honest, to-the-point advice you can implement right away. Your brand is worth celebrating. It can be fun, and I'll show you how. Let's get this party started. Clary Chambers, who goes by she, her pronouns, works to make the invisible visible. As the founder and CEO of Spark Clarity, Clary works with businesses as a consultant to make their physical, digital, and cultural spaces more inclusive for everyone. Best described as a creative optimist, she brings her lived experience as a Black disabled queer woman to bring joy to education, accessibility to community, and healing to self-care. Here's Clary. Well, thank you so much, Clary, for joining in on the Brand Party Podcast. I'm so excited to have you on here.
Me too. And what a better way to have a party across the country than be here with you. So thanks so much for having me.
It's cross Canada worldwide tour here.
Yeah. Actually, though, you are officially on tour. That's how to do it for sure.
That would be so much fun. If it wasn't COVID times, I would love to go on tour and have a party with everybody.
You are on tour. I mean, now the branding, there you go. That's the next spoiler alert.
Who knows? Coming to a town near you. But yeah. Diving in, how does Brand Party resonate with you?
Oh, well, I'm always the type of person that I'm always trying to have a party no matter what I'm doing. One being like obviously in our branding, but the party part I feel like is like celebration and the celebrating of the everyday thing. Your audience, probably lots of folks who are also entrepreneurs, also in the design space potentially too. I've listened to a lot of your awesome lives last year when I was in the UK. I was like walking around listening and we don't celebrate things enough. You know, and I think that when I saw that you first started with the Brand Party Challenge, the Brand Party Podcast, I thought, well, of course, Christine would do something so fun. So for me, it's all about having fun, both with our brand and our business, but just in general, like taking time to celebrate our everyday wins in life. Because if we're not going to celebrate it, no one else is going to do it for you. No one's going to start your party for you. You got to be the captain of your own party.
Champion yourself in that way and
very eloquent.
I love the way that you said it as well. And so sometimes it's not always cheery per se. And so what would you say to those who feel overwhelmed by their branding and design challenges right now?
Oh my goodness. I love this question. Overwhelm is a big thing. And my first thought was like, hire Christine. That's what you need to do. If you're overwhelmed, hire you. Yeah. Or buy one of your ready-to-made brands. Because when you're starting out, and so when I started my business in 2017, I had no idea what branding was. Like I really didn't. And so at the time I started my business around the same time that I was also applying to work at Shopify. And so in doing that at the time, you had to make an online store for the customer support role I was applying for. And so I'm reading everything about branding because the person who worked there said, make sure that your store is like really well branded. And I'm like, branded, what the hell is branding? So I'm like Googling like how to make a brand, you know, and I'm really trying. And I remember even the first time I did a web page, like a landing page for myself, I had someone helping me and they said, well, what hex code do you want to use? I'm like, What the hell is a hex code? I don't know. I don't want to expel anybody. Like, it's just when you're starting, there's so many aspects that you don't know about. So one, I would say hire someone. If you don't have the opportunity to hire someone, you need to subscribe to this podcast. You need to make sure that you're following Christine online and following other people online who are speaking about branding in really simplistic terms. And you just need to write stuff down. We really need to like create a folder, a page, a notebook somewhere where everything can be consistent. That's the hardest part in starting, right? Is knowing to be consistent. And then you're trying to be like, what color did I use last time? You don't know. Just write it down. So you'll have all your colors, you know, choose your fonts and just start somewhere.
Well, that's such a great tangible tip. I like to call it kind of your branding cheat sheet in a way as you're starting out, right?
Yeah, create exactly a branding cheat sheet. But I would put everything like in Google Drive or in a doc or on a piece of paper, because I used a system called Open Brand, which I think has gone out of business. That's where my brand lived, on Open Brand, all of the colors, the logos, when to use what. But then the platform doesn't exist. It's still been something that's challenging. I have all of the assets. It was so wonderful. Like, you click here, you look at the brand story. You click here, you look at the hex code colors. So make something that you own and put all of your stuff into there and start slow, read stuff. But honestly, the best thing that I did was paying someone to help me with my brand, quite honestly.
Mm-hmm. This really allows you to stay in your zone of genius too, and then have more just time, energy at the end of the day.
Yeah. And the other thing is, I was listening on a different call and they were saying, you know, we were talking about trying to promote our work and showing how it reduces a pain point. And having someone help you with your branding is going to reduce a ton of time, energy. Like, I would start with that, honestly, because a little bit of a backstory. But when I started Spark Clarity, right, I was posting online and just trying to do something, right? But what I realized very quickly, Christine, is that when I would look at my Instagram page, I was like, this is a hot mess. And then I would look at someone else's Instagram page and I would think, what I feel like I have to share has more value, but it doesn't look good. So no one cares. Mm. We are visual people. We like beautiful things. We don't go to, like, you know, like a field that's been ripped up and be like, oh, this will be a really great backdrop for my next Instagram photo. No, like, you go to a sunflower field, right? Like, come on.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you highlighted that, because I even had another conversation with somebody today about, you can't just fake it till you make it, in a sense. It's really has to come genuinely and look presentable in a way to kind of start to attract the people, at least, right? And so I want to shift gears a little bit too, that obviously a lot has changed in business and in life as you started your branding journey, but our lives have changed, the way that we worked has changed, and the reality is the matters of accessibility were always important. And same thing with inclusion, right? But it's really kind of come to surface now more than ever. But can you break down what exactly is accessibility and inclusion and how important it is, whether we personally identify with it or not?
Yeah. And one thing that I found the pandemic really showed us was that when it comes to access, we could all finally be at a point where we could relate. And I'll give you an example. So in March of 2020, when the pandemic was declared, I believe it was March 12th or 13th. And so from there, that last weekend, that, you know, at least in Canada, I was in the UK, I was living in Liverpool at the time. So it's a little bit different for me watching things shut down in Canada, but then being in the UK, where like tour buses were still happening, raves were still happening by our house. Like, it was very different to see something abroad and be in a different space too. But what we realized is that when everything went digital, right, very quickly, we went from being in person to being at home. And if we had technology, then we were able to connect. And so for the first time, we realized that if we don't have the same access, then we can't be able to participate. So for example, your whole family is like, let's jump on Zoom. Someone says, you know, you got the millennial or Gen Zer in your life, and they're like, why don't we all jump on Zoom? And then you have people that are in their 50s, 60s, 70s, whatever, that are like, what is Zoom? I've never heard of this. So now we have to navigate, how do I download this program? How do I teach somebody how to open it? And how do I teach somebody how to, like, unmute themselves when they can't hear me, I can't hear you? And so there's a lot of assumptions, because we've also made the assumption that, you know, these people in our lives have technology, that they have access to internet, that they have access to stable internet, and that they even know how to operate these programs. And so for the first time, it was like twofold, because for the first time, things that were never accessible for folks, especially folks with disabilities, folks with invisible illnesses like myself, invisible disabilities, they weren't able to access it. So I know I'm jumping around a lot, but for instance, one thing is virtual doctor's appointments. So now I have done, I think, 5 or 6 virtual doctor's appointments since I moved back to Canada and have been living in Vancouver Island. Virtual doctor's appointments weren't really available in the way that they are now. So you have people who have always struggled to get into the doctor physically, who may not needed to have anything physically touched or looked at or examined, but now they have access because what? Everyone has access. So what we saw is that now that the masses of people are able-bodied people, so meaning that people who don't experience accessibility challenges or don't have exceptional needs when it comes to their everyday lives are now inconvenienced. And so now everything became accessible. There was like the New York Met Gallery was like online. There were concerts that were online. There were counseling. We can't do counseling online. That's not a thing. Counseling's online. We can't do school online. School's online. You know, everything that they said could not be online in an instant, from arts to entertainment to education to recreational fitness, like anything you want to do, you could do virtually now, but you couldn't before. And then the other area that I started to speak to in the beginning was just that we make a lot of assumptions when it comes to access, and that we don't necessarily have to be someone with a disability to lack the ability to access something. And that was my example with Zoom, right? So, you know, and assuming that when we get on these cameras, when we're getting on these systems, that everybody will just know how it works. Those are like our ableist types of thinking, that every single person is just able to access everything when they can't. This is an example. Before, I feel like I had to convince people, why does it matter to make your business, to make your event, to make your home more accessible and inclusive? I felt like I had to convince people to care. But when they can't get onto Zoom and they don't know how to operate tech, when they're like, this isn't working. Obviously, this is not accessible. Like, you didn't think about what's like, exactly. Like, it's not accessible and you're not thinking about it. And there's so many reasons why it's important, more than just a moral standpoint. There are so many people that you are working with currently who have invisible illnesses, who have invisible disabilities, who aren't able to use their creative potential to its fullest expression. People who, like myself, have invisible illnesses, have invisible disabilities, I believe, Christine, are the most creative people in the world, because we are coming up with real-time, day-to-day, different creative solutions in order to thrive in a world that was not previously set up for us. And everyone is missing out on using that creative potential, for using it as a source of innovation, for using it in their businesses, in their family lives, because instead, I have to use all this creative potential to be like, how am I going to thrive in an online environment that, for example, for myself, does not have subtitles, as somebody who's dyslexic? So now I have to do all this extra stuff to be able to just exist in that meeting. So when they say, does anybody have any ideas? Yeah, I did have ideas, but I've used them all up in trying to just exist. That, in a nutshell, that very long statement is why it matters, and just the different things that have kind of been highlighted throughout this time.
Mm-hmm. So oftentimes, all of these things that you have mentioned definitely get overlooked, right? Because I think genuinely just have a safe space to ask people questions as well, and what you need to feel supported is not asked enough, and is really going to help better improve the experience overall for people, include more people, encourage more involvement as much as possible with that accessibility in mind. And so this also starts with having a safe space, right? But as we work from home, especially as you mentioned, like, what are three things that we can consider to create a space that is optimized for each of our own individual needs?
One last thing that I was just thinking of that I thought was really important is that when we're talking about accessibility and access, I think the reason why it's been that kind of buzzword that you spoke to is because now the way that the pandemic has affected us all, we've always been connected. Everything that we do has always affected other people, but we haven't seen it, or our privilege allows us not to see it. But when we think of people who are most at risk in terms of like contracting COVID, then stores and businesses had adapted to make those like hours at the beginning of their shopping experience that were for seniors and for folks who are most at risk. And those hours were the most clean. And the thing is, these people have always been at risk. There are people in your lives who are always immune compromised, who are going through cancer treatment, who have an autoimmune disease or illness like myself. So it's interesting that when we can see in real time how everything is connected, that then we make those changes. So I encourage you, as the people who are listening to this are awesome, they're forward thinkers, they celebrate their lives, they get shit done, right? Don't be the person who has to wait for an infectious global pandemic in order to make changes that then make you look like, oh, what a great business for being so thoughtful and so innovative. Don't wait until the whole world goes on fire to be like, do we need an extinguisher? Or like, don't be that person. But for those three tips that you talked about. Yeah. So the first one is, I think, to reduce shame. And so there's a lot of shame that comes up with being ill, with being sick, or even needing accommodations, because we were brought up in a world that told us we had to be like this. Right? So if we have to be anything different, we feel like we're not fitting in for whatever reason. That's not true. We need to just reduce that shame. Or if we realize we were doing something really impacted other folks' ability to thrive, that can feel really shitty. Like, I don't want to ever do anything that impacts, say, you, Christine, and that you're like, I can't be my best self here because you were doing this or you didn't do this. So we need to reduce that shame. Once we know better, we can do better. And then the second thing is, we want to acknowledge our knowledge gaps. There's so many things that we may not know about, even for ourselves. When I worked at Shopify, for example, I had asked for accommodations and they said, what do you need? And what learning styles do you need? And like, what do you need to thrive in training? And I was like, I don't know. I've never done the training. But what that also showed me is that people will give you sometimes what you need, but you have to know what you need. So there's different ways to figure that out, whether that's with your doctors or health practitioners, or just to like listen to yourself and be like, if I'm really disorganized all the time, maybe what I need in my home space is a calendar, like a big calendar, like elementary school style, you know, that's like on your board so that you can know what you're doing at different times. So that when you then ask for accommodations, sometimes they're going to ask you, what do you need? You know, and I'm going to be like, I need a pillow, like at this appointment, right? So we have to know ourselves and to realize that we need to evaluate our knowledge gaps. So things that we may not have known and what we need to figure out, right? And then the last one is to start where you are. So this would be something that if you are in a home space that you share with someone, you want to think about who's in your space right now or who's accessing it or how is it going well for you. To start where you are is like literally look around your space and see like, what do I have to work with? You may need a standing desk or you may need something different, but it's like, what do you have right now? And so you probably have a kitchen countertop, and your kitchen countertops, depending on like the kind of home and place you live in, are usually higher than the other surfaces, like the tables in your house. So if that's all you have, when I was first in my car accident and experiencing my chronic pain for the first time at 17, the highest surface in our house was my bathroom sink, which I then stacked up, you remember phone books? Mm-hmm. I then stacked up phone books on top of it to make myself a standing desk. Not glamorous, but it's start where you are. Look around your space. There are often more solutions that we have to our problems, just like we're like sitting on those gold mines, right? So those are the three ones. The first one is to reduce shame. The second one was to acknowledge our knowledge gaps. And the third one was to start where you are.
Yeah, because we definitely don't know what we don't know. And I think it's fair and valid to acknowledge that and accept that and, you know, be able to propel yourself further from that stage wherever you're at in your journey. And so, Clary, as someone who has an invisible illness and has identified with this, like, can you share exactly what that means to our listeners and how we can also be better to support people who have one too?
Yeah, exactly. And that's such a great question. So an invisible illness or an invisible disability is anything that you can't see just by looking at me. And so we're recording this right now. So just by looking at me, you can't tell that I have fibromyalgia and that I'm anemic. Like, you have no idea of knowing that I have first a chronic pain condition, fibromyalgia, and you have no idea by looking at me that my iron is low. Also, a very non-inclusive way that folks identify anemia is a pale skin. And so for being people of color ourselves, like, what the hell does that look like? I don't know. But it's one of those things where that's not an inclusive diagnostic term. My skin to me has never looked pale. I'm either brown or I'm like more brown from the sun, right? So where's my paleness? I don't know. But you can't see these things just by looking at me. By looking at me, you have no idea that I'm dyslexic. And I'm also dyslexic. That's my invisible disability. I have a learning disability. And so these are things that affect our everyday lives. If you add the word chronic to it, it's something that's happened longer than 3 months is usually the definition of something that's like a chronic illness. So you can have something that's chronic, meaning that it's lasted longer than 3 months. So for example, if you have shoulder pain, that lasts for 2 days compared to shoulder pain that's like for 5 years or longer than 3 months. So some examples, I did this exercise once before. And so as you're listening, I would appreciate if you want to do the same. Think about right now in your mind, if you know anybody who has any of the following things. And I had done this before at a talk I gave and the results were pretty surprising. So invisible illnesses, invisible disabilities can include fibromyalgia, endometriosis, ADHD, any mental health conditions like bipolar, depression, anxiety, schizophrenia. It could also include folks who are recovering from cancer treatments or who are going through chemo for cancer. It can include people with diabetes, anemia, and the list goes on and on. There's anything that you cannot see that's an illness or a disability that affects someone's life. Crohn's would count in there as well. So if you now can think about it for yourself, do you know somebody, raise your hand to yourself, I guess. If you know somebody who has one of these conditions or yourself, like you can raise your hand. And so for me, yeah, so for both of us. So it's a lot more people. In the US alone, 1 in 10 folks have fibromyalgia. And so there are estimated, I believe it's the stat is 137 million folks in the US right now that are projected to have invisible illnesses and invisible disabilities that are diagnosed. And we know the United States has a horrible healthcare system. I don't think that anyone would disagree with that, specifically with what we're seeing with the pandemic as well. And so those are just the people who are diagnosed, not to mention all the people who are underdiagnosed in those areas as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And so in the sense of accessibility then to like kind of looking on the tangible side of things of how it relates back to the way that we communicate visually too. Like I'm currently taking an accessibility design course to just like improve my own skills and stuff like this. It's something that I've been wanting to really dive into more and more of. And yeah, so it's been a lot of fun, but whether it's enough contrast for legibility purposes, you know, to those who may be visually impaired, for example, to those who might be deaf or hard of hearing, to have transcriptions or captioning for podcast episodes, even like this, or captions for photos. This is just like the very surface level of what we can do, right? And there are so many details that we can incorporate literally right now into our own processes to just really help improve that experience overall for more people. So accessibility branding removes a lot of barriers to create more of a better experience for people and ultimately will impact your sales as well, right? But it's not an overnight solution. And what are the benefits of being more accessible?
I think that right now we can truly see the impact in being accessible. So for example, we're in a pandemic, right? Like at this point that when we're filming and recording this podcast episode here. And so that is impacting aspects of some folks' everyday lives, some more than others. During this time, I would say, you know, we can make a collective assumption that people are feeling stressed in one way or another, whether it's just because they're tired of this scenario, because they just don't want to line up in lines and they just want to go back to the way things were, or they're stressed because, you know, as a business owner, they're open, but they're waiting at any point for the government or for, you know, health care professionals to tell them it's no longer safe. Like there's just so much uncertainty. And even with myself, like I just got engaged to my partner, Percy, but we can't plan. we like, you know, there's stress, there's things going on, right? I believe that people are having really great days and really bad days. On your really bad day, right? Your COVID bad day, Groundhog's Day, it feels like every day is the same day. You are trying to go to the grocery store and you're like, I am like, think I'm going to lose my job today, but I'm not sure because it seems like we're getting all laid off again and all these things and just compounding, you know, you're living in a place where the second wave is picking up. You're like, oh, we can't really get together for Thanksgiving, but you're upset. All these things are happening. And then you get to a business that has signs in the window and they are not accessible for you to read because you experience low vision and the contrast in the design. Why did they use lime green? Who even gave them permission? And then they use white on top. No one can see that, right? So now you're there and everything is piled up and you're like, you know what? I can't read if this store is saying, come in, we'll come out to you, ring the doorbell for service. You have no idea how to interact with this space during this new COVID stuff. So you say, screw it, I'm gonna go to McDonald's instead. I wanted to support this local business, but this is not accessible to me. So the cost of not being accessible right now is the highest it's ever been. You cannot add a single extra barrier for people to give you the monies. You got to make it as easy as possible. People are stressed. People are trying to pick up their kids from a half day of school that never existed like this, trying to coordinate all this shit. And your business is not accessible. They get there and they can't push their stroller into the building because there's this huge gap between where the sidewalk and the door entrance is. So it just makes it impossible. The door doesn't open and they can't get in with their stroller. And they're just like, you know what? Like, I can't even handle this. Like, we're just not going to go. Because we cannot access it. If you have something online, you have a great video, this video is going to change my life, but I cannot read it, me, because I'm dyslexic and I need the subtitles, I'm no longer going to get it. I was going to sign up for your shit. I'm like, I got saving money for months because I know that you're about to launch your program, but I can't wrap my head around what's going on because your platform is not accessible. And now you don't get my money, because maybe in non-COVID times, I could take a couple deep breaths, listen to like a meditation, and then try my best to still exert more energy than I ever should have to do to be able to access the same thing that other people who don't have dyslexia can. These are all the reasons, Christine, like, what's going to set you apart? The easier you can make it for your customers or for your employees to do the task that you want. What's your desired outcome? If your desired outcome is you are an employer and it's productivity from your staff, like, you're in an industry that's blowing up, right? Garden centers. People are like, I'm a gardener. Like, we are flower farmers now. Okay, Christine, like, we have like, there's like 100 bulbs behind this curtain. Like, we're growing a farm, right? But the thing is, like, if those spaces were not accessible to me based on like my illness and the things that I need, if their lighting was horrible and it was triggering for me for pain, if they weren't able to give their communications both like through sound and through words, because I need both and able to, you know, be able to function properly, then they wouldn't be able to get our money. And same with your employees. If your space is not set up for them, like, people are stressed and they're dealing with more than they ever have in their whole life. And so if you are not talking to your employees and saying, what can we do to make your experience working with us as accessible as possible? And sometimes the things they need are little and they're free. They need maybe a Google Chrome extension that helps them, like I use, that allows me to read the text on every screen. They didn't have to pay a dollar. And now my productivity has gone up like 100%. So that's the difference between having people quit, go on leave, go on disability leave, ghost you, and on the customer side, never come, bad reviews, and just never follow through. Like, what happened to all that interest? Like, why did they buy in the end? Maybe it was because your checkout processing system or your sales page, they couldn't read it with their screen reader because you embedded all of your images with text and that can't be read, right? Like, they can read text, but if you put everything in a graphic, I can't read it unless you put the alt text there. So it's more important than ever. I feel like this is, if it was any time to be accessible, it is now, because we don't want a single barrier in the way from your desired outcome at your place of work.
Mm-hmm. You've heard it here. Like, so much. I'm just trying to take it all in because there's so many truth bombs in this and it needs to be heard. And I think it's also fair to assume that, you know, if you are a business owner, an entrepreneur, a creative person, a human for that matter, I think it's fair to say that you probably, your intention is to help people. And so we have to sometimes just take a moment to pause and reconnect with how and why and how we can really optimize these experiences for people and just check in really to make sure that it's actually helping the people that we want to be as well and making it really just a better overall world, as hokey as that might sound.
Yeah. And we can't assume that, you know, I think a lot of people think, well, there's no one in my space who's disabled, or I don't have to worry about accessibility because I don't have any disabled employees. But how do you know that? Because you're looking at somebody right here who has an invisible chronic illness too, and few disabilities or things that make me disabled in spaces. So you never know. And most likely you're probably, your staff already do. So it's a matter of kind of, we want to be proactive. We don't want to have to wait until something bad happens, until we lose all of our employees, our best employee, ourselves even, before we make those accommodations that we need to thrive.
But yeah, these are such golden nuggets. I do have a few rapid fire questions for you, Clary. Are you ready?
Yeah, hear me.
What are you currently celebrating?
Oh, I'm currently celebrating the fact that I am living out my dream life and pushing myself to celebrate it, because I feel like we always want something else, right? Being ambitious people that we are. But I am celebrating the fact that I continue to listen to my gut. at all costs and that I have created a life where I am living virtually pain-free and that I've just decided to like create a life that looks nothing like what I ever saw. Because this is like what I need. So that's a big thing. That's the big thing. And yeah.
Amazing. I could tell how good it obviously has impacted you as well to just really hone in on what you need. And what is the number one thing that you want people to have fun with from this episode?
Oh, I want people to know that it doesn't have to be like this daunting process in order to make your spaces more inclusive. My hope is that you go from feeling overwhelmed to like excited to take on this challenge and to be that thought leader that you are, to pave the path, because people will look back and be like, oh, I really wish I would have done that like in the beginning. I hope that you can have fun with this process and know that in doing the work to make your space more accessible and inclusive, you are making yourself more money. We want people to be able to slam dunk their money, right? And if you're not a professional basketball player, we got to get all those tools in place so you can slam dunk. I don't know if you need a trampoline or what, or like hydraulics or like whatever, but we want people to be able to slam dunk you with money. So let the process be easy. So that's what you can look forward to, like money just being slam dunked all around.
I love that. It's such a great visual.
You know what I mean? Like, yes. Boom.
Right there. Amazing. And what is your bold legacy?
Oh, okay. My bold legacy is that when I die, my goal is to continue to make a world where the invisible is visible. And that we don't look at people with invisible illnesses and invisible disabilities as people who are bringing us down or who are going to take so much work and energy. And that when we find somebody with an invisible illness, we're like, oh, great. We were really looking for creative people. And now we have them. My legacy is to change culture so that we see our differences as strengths and recognize the most creative people in our world and that we don't miss out on their creativity as innovation.
I absolutely love that.
And cool. Me too. Party.
Oh, and I'm so appreciative of you as well. So thank you so much for taking the time to join in on the Brand Party podcast. Clary, where can people find out more about you?
So you can find out more about me on the interwebs at everything at Spark Clarity online. If you Google Clary Chambers, if you Google Spark Clarity, you will find all things accessibility, and you're going to find a lot of creative optimism while you're there. So get ready to be optimistic.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Clary.
You're so welcome. Bye, Christine.
Thanks for listening to the Brand Party podcast. For more resources, check out ChristineLDesigns.com.